The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We're going to be talking some Red Sox offseason stuff because, unfortunately, we don't have Red Sox playoff stuff to talk about anymore. I hope everyone's enjoying the playoff games going on right now, but if you're here with us, we're happy to have you here. I'm Jason. I'm here with Chris, Jeremy, and Terry. And, guys, I guess we should just start out with the biggest news of the week pertaining to the Red Sox, which is the report that Alex Bregman plans to opt out of his contract and become a free agent. So I think it's something that we all kind of saw coming, but now it is at least report to be official. So Chris, your reaction to Alex Bregman opting out?
Well, like you said, I don't think anyone's shocked at this point. I mean, it's been speculated for quite some time that he was going to opt out of that contract. It's a range of emotions now that it's real, because, you know, there's a part of me, especially as the playoffs went on and even the wee hours of the regular season, he did not perform well, right? He didn't really have any big moments. He didn't do much for us in the playoffs, to be fair. And we expected him to be a pivotal part. Now, I recognize that he got hurt in the regular season and just didn't seem to be the same after that. But there's a part of me that wants nothing to do with him long term. I think the interesting part is that if he's not here, the other thing that's all for nothing is the Rafael Devers situation and saga, because, you know, to have Bregman for basically, let's call it, you know, the Bregman we thought we would get for a half a year, maybe two thirds, because there probably was some moments that he did well after the injury, to lose Rafael Devers and then he's gone, it would be a crime at this point, to be honest. And I was, you know, in favor of getting rid of Rafael Devers with the, you know, intent that we would keep Alex Bregman. He'd be a part of, you know, the core in the sense that he could really teach the young guys, kind of mentor them, and that we would spend the money. I have no confidence we're going to spend the money. And then if Bregman's gone, it's like, wow, we lost Bregman and Rafael Devers. Now what? Because Mayer, everyone's like, oh, we'll just put him third. With his injury history, can you really count on that? So I don't know. Right now, I'm like two-faced. I'm 50-50 flip a coin as to what we should do here. I'd be interested in hearing your guys' thoughts.
Jeremy.
I didn't anticipate you bringing in the Devers thing as part of that. So I'm largely over the fact that Devers isn't here. And the reason why I say that is because the minute Henry had a reasonable expectation to move that contract, he was going to do it. I didn't know it at the moment, but looking back on what happened, how it happened, the timing of it, and I apply what I know about Cheap John Henry, that he was never going to make it on that deal. They want to free up the money. The Bregman thing, from the day John Henry lit that cigar and took that dumbass picture, was a one-year deal. I mean, we can all agree on that. It was a one-year deal. I think both player and team, you know, they gave Bregman some security in case he had a significant injury where he missed the season. He could opt in and make his money. He didn't have a good enough year to opt out, in my opinion. I look at the injury a little bit differently, Chris, by the way. On the wrong side of 30, second significant quad injury, where he misses 40-something games, to me, if I'm another team, that starts to scare me that he's going to have an injury history in the back half of his career here. So just taking it as Bregman, I think he's gone, and I think you're going to get the we're going to get healthy and we have internal options situation that they love to do. And Chris, you hit it on the head. You hit it on the nail. Assuming Story's here, and I haven't heard any rumor of him opting out, you're going to have Mayer move into second, you know, Campbell maybe at back to second, or you could put Rafaela at second and kind of free up the logjam of outfielders. So I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think Duran's going to be moved. And, you know, that's what we're going to get. It is what we, it is what it is. What I would prefer is them to go back outside the organization and go get a bat for that corner infield spot. And if it's not Bregman, then whoever, whether it's trading for somebody with term or going to get a veteran with, you know, with a year or two left just to fill that spot as these kids continue to grow. Because your second point about Mayer, Chris, is dead on. There's no expectation that he's going to be healthy. He's ended each of his last three pro seasons on the shelf. He hasn't made it through the end of the year. So I am somebody who takes injury history and applies it to what I think about the player moving forward. It's not that I'm rooting against him. It's just you have to plan for it. And this creates a problem. My last point is, I'm seeing some rumors that there's already like three or four teams, the Royals were in there, that are going to have an interest. And I'm sure teams are going to have an interest, but I just don't think there's going to be a huge market for him coming off of this season at the money he wants. And that's not really more, that's not based on like what I understand in the market and looking at other similarly skilled players on SpoTrack or anything. It just happened last season. We got him because he couldn't get the long-term deal last year when he was a year younger. So that brings me back to my original point to end my take here. I'm surprised he opted out. $80 million guaranteed. He seemed to like it in Boston, unless you guys know anything differently. You know, this seems like a Boris move more than it is a Bregman move.
Since the All-Star break, which was right around the time Alex Bregman came back from the calf problem or quad problem, whatever it was, he hit 250 with a 341 on base. The on base looks really good there. Only seven home runs with 27 driven in. That was a 727 OPS, which is almost right on the money for league average, but had a 386 slugging. So I gave a take. It was probably in the month of September, to where Bregman, to me, at this point in his career, is about a $20 million a year player. It's about all he is. Solid bat. Hopefully the injury thing was flukish, but I think the last one was in what, 2019. So it's not like it's been a super recurring thing. And I think it was the opposite leg this time, same injury, opposite leg, but it just didn't make sense to me that he would leave $80 million on the table, being, you know, roughly a $20 million a year guy. So as you guys have pointed out, this is what Boris's read on the market is. This is how I think it's going to go. Boris knows he can't let him sit out there again. That strategy isn't going to work again. It's going to come down to just one or two teams. It's going to be another weird deal. He's going to have to take probably the first 150 or better that's offered, or relatively quickly from when that's offered, whether it's one team or three teams, and then he's going to have to pick. Another guy you can't quite compare it to, but to me, it could end up feeling similar in the end. Go back to 2014 or 2013 going into 2014. That was when Jacoby Ellsbury hit free agency. And I remember the big talk at the time was he's not going to get a major haul. He's not going to get, you know, a $200 million deal, which would have been massive at that time, 10 years ago. But really quickly, the Yankees offered him $154 million over 7 years, and Boris took it. It was fast. You didn't even hear. There wasn't even 48 hours of drama leading up to the thing. We didn't know which four teams were hot after Ellsbury. It was just like, bam, he signed with the Yankees. I think that's what the Bregman thing is going to feel like. I think it's going to happen quick. Boris is like, that's a great offer. We're probably not going to beat it by much. Let's just take it and get you dealt with. And I think the same thing could happen to Pete Alonso, who had to take what, a 2-year deal this past winter with an opt-out after the first year. So I think he's going to have to find homes for them quickly. And I don't think it's going to be with the Red Sox. I think the Red Sox only end up with him if they're really the only team interested.
And they might be. I mean, you know, Jeremy brought it up, like, his second half was kind of brutal for him. And I think it scared off a lot of potential suitors. Like, I don't think the Tigers are going to be pursuing him this time around, because they probably look at their roster and say, well, you know, we're growing. We're, you know, we've got these young guys who are really starting to come into their own. Do we really want to give Alex Bregman a 6-year deal and have him blow out his quad again and miss half the season? Like, I don't think he's going to have a strong market. In terms of him opting out, I wonder if a lot of it has to do with, you know, we talked about this on a show a couple of weeks ago. There's probably a strike coming in 2 years. So maybe he looks at it and says, I'd rather have just the long, you know, the secure contract. I don't know how that quite works. If there's a strike, if, you know, I'm guessing they still get paid by the owners. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Do they not? Okay. So it doesn't matter then. Yeah. So, cause that was the only thing I thought of, is like, maybe he looks at it and says, well, I want to have money for, you know, in case there's no baseball for like 2 years, God forbid. And let's hope that doesn't happen, but I want to be paid in 2028. But if it's a strike and it doesn't matter, then yeah. So him opting out is a bold move then, because he's not going to get the $40 million on the open market, not even close. Like, I'm not even sure he gets 30. You know, Terry, you brought it up. He's a $20 million player. You know, if you, given his, you know, his injury history, his age, his decline in play in the second half, like, he cost himself a lot of money this year with that second half. So I don't know if he just wants the long-term secure contract to, you know, that's sort of the last contract of his career thing, or if he really thinks that, hey, like, I can get a better deal with maybe a better team out there. I don't know if he's back with the Red Sox, but I think it's important that they try to get him back, because you don't have many options at third base. I don't like the idea of putting Meyer over there. He's not naturally a third baseman. He should be playing shortstop. Frankly, he should be playing shortstop next year, and Trevor Story should slide over to second base. Like, in my ideal world, that's what I want. And I want them to have a true third baseman over there at the corner. If you don't get Bregman, you look at that free agent class, it's him, it's Eugenio Suarez, who is a couple years older, you know, big time power bat, a guy that I really like, but he is a big strikeout guy too. So do you want to add more strikeouts to a lineup that already strikes out a ton? He's also going to cost you a lot of money. So is Henry willing to pay, you know, 30, 35 million for a guy who's 34 years old? Probably not. After that, there's like a little bit of a dip, and then it's Max Muncy, who's going to be 35 and doesn't hit lefties. No, thank you. And then there's a cliff for the remaining third basemen that are free agents. You're looking at like Yoan Moncada and, you know, some of these other names on here. It's just, they're not even worth pursuing. Paul DeJong, like, it's a bad free agent class at third base. And you don't have anyone coming up the system anymore. Your only third baseman that was coming up the system was Blaze Jordan. And look, he's not a big leaguer, most likely, but you trade him away for stupid Steven Matz. So you don't have anything in the system. The free agent class sucks. At that point, if you don't get Bregman, you have to look at a trade. Okay, who's available? You're not going to get Austin Riley from the Braves. Like, you're not going to get a guy like that. Maybe a guy that they could look at, you know, Cincinnati's been brought up as a trade partner because I guess they really like Jaron Duran. A lot of people have been speculating that the Red Sox could try and get Hunter Green to add to their rotation. Maybe, you know, ask them if they want to throw in Noel V. Marte. He's like 24 years old, I think. Righty power bat. Young guy. He missed some time because of PED suspension, but whatever. We don't judge. Maybe that's the move. Maybe, you know, put together a trade package for him. Only problem is he's a butcher defensively, so you will get worse defensively as a team if you go for something like that. So this is why, like, the Bregman thing's tough, because I'm not like pounding the table. Yes, I want him back. But then I look at the market and I look at what's around. I kind of go, you need him back whether you like it or not, you kind of need him back to stabilize your lineup a little bit, because otherwise you are looking at getting creative in the trade market, which I'm not sure Craig Breslow can do. So as much as it kind of sucks, like, you might have to deal with the devil in Scott Boras here and try to get him back as much as you can.
What, in response to that, Jason, John Henry has now effectively cleared $70 million annually off the roster. Don't you think, based on his spending behavior in the last 5 years, that that's his preferred result here? And as a result, there may not be any interest from the Red Sox. Now, when I say any interest, you know, like, they offered Juan Soto $500 million, or they're in on player B who, you know, we never know what the offer is. So they'll be in on Bregman, but do you think they'll really be competitive with an offer and be willing to spend? Or is this John Henry clearing $70 million with two players off and that's what he wants?
I think they'll offer him what they believe is a good offer. Like, I could see them offering him, like, you know, I don't know, 5 years, 100, you know, to Terry's point, $20 million player. If that's how they view him, here's 5 years, 100, take it or leave it. So I think that's what they're probably going to do. He's going to seek something better, and he might get something better. He might get 150 from another team, in which case, yeah, he's gone. So I think they will compete in a way, but they're not going to, like, no, they're not going to overextend themselves. Cause I agree, at the end of the day, once that price tag goes up too high, they're going to back away, and it'll be, oh, well, you know, Romy could play third base a little bit. Like, it'll be something stupid like that. So,
yeah, I think as a response, man, I could see it both ways, because at the end of the day, they did offer him a 3-year deal that they gave him. And then, to your point, Jeremy, he's kind of given them the out now if they want to save the money. And that kind of is the Red Sox MO. I think back to 2 points. So for yours, Jason, like, as far as the speculation as to why he would opt out, you know, you made a good point as far as with the lockout. And I think really for him, he might be looking at it is, let me risk 2 years to try and get those extra three. Because here's the reality. If he stays with the Sox and then there is a lockout, even though players aren't getting paid, while they're locked out, he's only getting older, which makes him a hell of a lot less likely to get those additional 3 years coming out of that lockout if he were to stay the remaining two on his contract and opt in with the Red Sox. So that could be one reason. And as far as your point, Jeremy, like, as far as him, you know, you being shocked that he opted out, I agree with you at face value. The way he performed, I'm shocked too. To me, because Scott Boras now basically screwed over Bregman and Pete Alonso two of the last three seasons in the offseason, and basically got them, you know, either 1 year or bridge deals to try and get them these long-term deals, I just have this sense and feeling that there's no way he's going to do that to Bregman unless he knows something we don't. And that's as simple as there's GMs out there having backdoor conversations like, listen, he hits the market, this is the number that's going to come. Because why would he want egg on his face three times in three off seasons, two with the same player? It would just suck. I mean, it would suck for Bregman, and I mean, it would hurt. It would hurt his agent. So,
to me, it's a long shot that he comes back to the Red Sox. Like Jason said, we would have to be the only team remaining, and I kind of think Detroit would be interested. I think if they come back to the table with basically the same deal they offered last year, which was 6 years, 171, even if you take a year off of that, I just think it's a possibility. And you watch the Tigers slide bad there for much of the last month. Lost a lot of games, lost the division. So I don't know. I gave the Ellsbury comparison. Another one that was weird that everyone's already kind of forgotten about was one or two off seasons ago, Gerrit Cole opted out and Boras was his agent. That was like the genius move by Boras. Nobody wanted him. Nobody threw a big number out. So the Yankees just came back in and said, we'll take you back, but you're just essentially going to keep the deal that you had, you know, the years and the money. And that's what happened. So I don't know where you go with that. I was just kind of perusing, you know, the possible trade market. I don't know if the Phillies, they've got 1 year left on Alec Bohm. That would be an attractive option. I don't think it would cost a major haul. You've got a little bit of surplus that you could deal, you know, namely Jaron Duran. And I don't know if Schwarber played any outfield at all this year, but if they were to lose Schwarber, perhaps Duran becomes even a better fit. Another option, let's see, there was a couple. I thought I saw one more. Oh, Isaac Paredes, I think, would be a nice bat, but I don't know if the glove really fits at this point. When Carlos Correa came back, I think that kind of relegated Paredes to, I thought, DH, but he came off of the left side of the infield. I knew that. And then if the Braves were motivated to move a contract like Austin Riley, would we be interested? I mean, he has regressed a little, but I don't know if perhaps Fenway Park would, I don't know, kind of re-energize him a little bit.
Man, do I not have Breslow, any confidence in Breslow making a trade with either the Braves or the Phillies based on the executives that would be representing the other club. And yeah, I'll just leave it at that. That's scary. I would think we would get fleeced.
Yeah. And the other concern too, is you have to remember, like, before they got Bregman, they were willing to trade for Nolan Arenado and take on his stupid money. And I actually didn't look up how he did this year. I think he was kind of still regressing a little bit, but that was what Breslow was looking at. If he couldn't get the free agent, he was looking at the aging veteran that had money attached to him. So I'm with Jeremy. Like, I don't trust Breslow to be creative enough to say, yeah, I can go get Austin Riley and I won't get, you know, completely wrecked in that trade. Like, no, he's going to have to deal with someone, I hate to put it this way, but like someone dumber than he is for him to win the trade. That's kind of why I brought up the Reds. The Reds are a stupid team. They let a lot of talent go off that team. So a guy like Noelvi Marte probably could be had, you know, and if you throw in Duran and maybe one of your young pitchers, maybe you get Hunter Green too. I don't know. I mean, the Reds are cheap. You know, Hunter Green at some point is going to want to get paid. So they're looking to move him already. So it's going to have to be something like that because, yeah, it's – I don't have confidence in him getting like a true stud in a trade. I don't think he has the capability for it.
Well, you know, here's the other thing is that we've thrown out a lot of names as potentials here. If we get someone that's going to not cost a lot, more than likely they're going to be equal or lesser production than Bregman. So does that really fix anything? One. And if it's greater, then you're giving up a haul. And that's prospects we're going to need to fill one of the many holes that we have on this team right now, because we're not one, not even two players away from truly competing for a championship unless everything goes right. And that includes no injuries, which we know is not realistic in any professional sport. You know, I've even, as far as speculation too, with this Hunter Green, I've seen Bayo's name as a potential, as a trade, or as part of that trade deal. And you think like, okay, great. You get Hunter Green, even if he is an improvement, you're still creating another hole. And that's probably the biggest the most frustrating thing about the Red Sox is this year was supposed to be about growth and there was growth there, but it's come at a cost. And a lot of it is just creating these holes that weren't necessary. You know, I see the comments from so many of our fans here, and they're like, well, we need a first baseman, a third baseman, a DH, another pitcher. And that's all true. And then if we get rid of Duran, great. It's like, do we really have an answer there? I think it's time to move on. But you put Abreu there, and it's like, well, what happens if that doesn't work? And that's another hole we might have to fill if he doesn't prove that he can become an everyday outfielder for us, because he's been streaky. So it's just seems like we're getting to a place where very quickly we were supposed to be rebuilding and retooling. And it's just this constant, we plug a hole, but create two more.
So if anyone's wondering, Austin Riley has 7 years remaining at $164 million. That takes him through his age 35 season. None of that scares me. You know, unless there's going to be a massive drop off, I think that would be an attractive move if both teams were motivated to do it. But, you know, I look at the market and I mean, if you get Alonso at first base, then, you know, and then let's say Suarez, those are my two guys. Those are number one and number two on my list for bats. If you get both of those, I don't really care what happens at third. Just get a good glove at that point. Like you've put some offense into this team at that point. You've put power into it, which we were lacking. And I think your middle of the lineup, you know, Suarez, Alonso, and Anthony, however you want to swing it. Anthony could be the leadoff guy, actually. But I still think your 1-5 looks extremely formidable with two names like that. Another observation I made this week on, it was before the Bregman opt-out, so it was already at least a day or two old by the time I got to it, but Craig Breslow was on the Tom Caron podcast, and I finally came to the conclusion that Breslow is the guy in charge. Like, he's got the ultimate final say over everything except possibly what the magic number is in terms of budget. If they tell him it's 250, then it's 250, but Breslow has 1000% control over what happens with that money and which direction he's going to go. Just listening to him and, you know, if you've never, if you're a Kansas City Royals fan and you don't listen to Red Sox content and you're hearing Breslow for the first time, he does sound like a guy who's been doing it for a little while. Like, he sounds like an executive, but as we know, the track record just isn't there, at least once the season starts. He's not going to solve any problems after opening day. He's probably going to create a lot of problems. So it's hard to imagine that. It's hard to imagine anything super bold is going to happen here. You mentioned Hunter Green. I actually think that could be plausible. I think he would really rather blow up the farm than drop serious money on a long-term contract. I really believe that. And when I checked the other night, the Red Sox have now the number 12th or 13th ranked farm system because a lot of our guys have graduated. You know, Roman Anthony is probably not considered to be a prospect anymore. I'm not sure about Meyer with the small sample size. I don't know about Campbell, but even if they are considered prospects, you have to imagine that their stock took a hit, you know, with Campbell having head problems and getting sent down and Meyer's physical problems still being a thing. So I guess in short, I'm extremely prepared to have a roster that I'm uncomfortable with as we go into opening day.
So let me ask you guys this, and we'll kind of go around on this one. You know, not what you want, but who do you think, in your gut, is the Red Sox starting third baseman on opening day next year? Chris, we'll start with you.
Marcelo Meyer.
Marcelo Meyer.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, you're not going to get rid of Romy because he's just too valuable, and he can be your plug-and-play second baseman until you come up with another solution internally. It could be, I mean, he and Sogard, for instance, could be a platoon there. And then I think Meyer goes to third. I think third base is probably a good spot for him. Typically, you're going to have a lot less wear and tear. You're just knocking down line drives and shipping the ball over to second or third. If you're a middle infielder, you're extremely busy. You know, you're either backing up second or you're essentially the shortstop on that side of the infield. So, you know, I think it's going to be Meyer. And, you know, and then Casas, Breslow spoke. I guess I don't know. I don't want to say optimistic, but the way he talked about Casas, that it felt like a real possibility that he's your first baseman if he's ready by opening day. But original question, Meyer at third.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be the one. I don't know if we call it optimist, whatever. But I'm still gonna say Bregman. I still think they find a way to get it done. I don't know how, but and that's what I hope. But you know, I don't know. The idea of just Meyer at third and just Casas at first, like that's a bad offseason. If it's more just like status quo and they only add like a reliever here and there or something, like that's a real bad offseason for a team that was, you know, in the wild card, that was showing progress. Like they got to make more moves than that. I mean, that'd be really bad.
So I'm the same way. I'm actually prepared to be pissed off and annoyed because we waited for the big four, whatever now, you know, big three to ascend to the major league level. And then we're supposed to shift into first gear as an organization to a win now approach. Cause that hasn't been how we've gone into a season for years. And what happens is at least the three of the four end the season, at least either in the bigs or on the IL with the big league club, we make the playoffs. There's no reason not to push your chips in the middle, right? Go spend the money. Why did you develop all these guys if once they're here, you weren't going to go try to win? And I like you, Terry, I am fully prepared for nonsensical internal movement of players to balance the roster, like Mayer going to third, like expecting literally anything from Casas. But that's what we're going to end up with because we're more tracking towards the Baltimore Orioles approach to their prospects ascending to the big league level than what Houston did. So that we're going to become the Baltimore Orioles of, oh my God, we have all this young talent. 5 years is going to go by like that. And we're going to say the window's already closed.
We really want to get depressed. I mean, listen, if Meyer were to be able to stay healthy, I actually wouldn't mind it that much pending we spent the money other places like a Pete Alonso, fill in the blank. But here's the reality. We're going to have Marcelo Meyer until he gets hurt, which is inevitable. And then it's going to be a platoon of Toro and like Sogard, players like that at third base. That's what we're in store for this season.
Another thing, I mean, I don't think this would happen, but who's to say a Mikey Romero guy doesn't just light it up in spring training and somehow wins the spot? So I don't think we can rule something like that out. It looks like Franklin Arias finished the season in Double A, if I'm not mistaken. So, and if he did get called up to Triple A, it would be a small sample size. So I think he would be a long shot, but that's a possibility. I just hope that we're gonna make these unforeseen moves. I always say that about Breslow and it never happens. And someone, I wish I remembered who it was, and I would definitely give him credit for this, but someone took a Breslow quote and it was verbatim what he said in terms of being aggressive and open-minded. Verbatim, it was exactly what he said 48 hours before the trade deadline. And he gave the same line again. So we're going to take that, you know, going through the month of December. And Bregman was the one exception in the last 15 years, at least, maybe longer. If you don't have your guy by the end of the winter meetings, which are usually the second week of December, you're not getting your guy. Like, it just doesn't typically happen. You might get a mid-level guy that'll complement the roster, but you're not getting an impact guy. Bregman was the one exception to that. And I think the Red Sox simply just ended up with him.
Yeah, all true. All true. And, you know, that's those winter meetings are going to be, we're going to be keyed in on those because, yeah, like what progress do they make? Are they close with the Bregman deal? Are they far away? Has he already signed somewhere else by then? I mean, you know, who knows where the domino is going to fall by then. But yeah, it is a shame that, like, again, you know, Terry, you talk about it, Alex Cora's platoon empire. I mean, that could very well be the deal next year. Platoon at third base, platoon at second base. You know, if Casas isn't healthy, a platoon at first base. I mean, that's platoon at DH too. So
you mentioned Cora. I did want to mention one thing. There has been a lot of manager movements this week. One guy that would intrigue the hell out of me, and you wouldn't get him this year, Mike Schilt. For whatever reason, stepped down for the San Diego Padres. I think he was only in the second year of his deal. He moves around a lot. He does have a fiery personality, which is one of the things I love about him. AJ Preller, I think that was what the deal was. Like, he's an extremely hard executive for managers to deal with. Similar to, I think, how Steve Cohen can be on his managers. And, you know, Preller doesn't quite have the clout. I mean, he's the GM and of his respective team, and Cohen's the owner. So they are kind of coming from different roles. But Schilt apparently was burnt out, and he always gets his teams to kind of overachieve in a way. And not that the Padres weren't super talented, but, you know, they hadn't consistently been making October before he got the job. He was promoted from bench coach up to manager when he got it. And I think that Cardinals team wasn't super robust, and he got them into the playoffs once or twice. So just a name in the future to look out for.
Yeah, for sure. And maybe Schilt wanted to leave because he heard that Preller was talking with Mason Miller about potentially becoming a starter. So that report was pretty wild. Yeah, so interesting to see where he'll go. But yeah, he is a good name out there for anyone looking for a manager. I would hire him too. So, but yeah, we'll be looking out for him. We'll be looking out for any Alex Bregman news. And obviously, if anything breaks, we'll be right here to talk about it. So everyone enjoy the playoff baseball and enjoy Red Sox offseason. We'll be with you every step of the way. So have a good one. We'll talk to you later. Take care.